So we're doing something completely different on this money episode, which is, you may not know this, but I have a team of anywhere between 110 and 150 staff at any one point, depending on how many Haley's fired. And for about 35, would you say, in both sales teams, something like that? About 40. So about 40 people who work in sales in my two companies, Progressive Property and Progressive Success. So I'm getting put on the hot seat. So some of the team members are coming in and they're going to ask me questions about sales and money. Can you confirm I've not seen your questions?
You haven't seen my questions.
I have not. So that's what we're doing. Let's do this. So this is Ash.
Hello.
And Ash, you run the Podcasters podcast?
I do.
Yeah.
Alongside Kane, yeah.
And what do you do with us?
Help to run the podcast agency here and also involved in the sales team with Haley and the rest of the guys.
Right. Let's do this. Let's do this. I might give 50 quid to the best question.
Ooh, you should have said that about 5 minutes.
You better change
ago.
Yours, mate.
They've got time to prepare now. If mine's the best.
There you go. I'll put it there. No, what do you want it for? Just for being yourself?
Yeah.
Just for being alive?
Yeah.
No. Right, there it is. If it's good, you get that. If it's not, then...
How many questions do you want?
One at a time.
Yeah, all four at the same time. Awesome. So my first question is, how do I turn a loyal audience into customers?
Anyone who follows you, you want to know what they like about you the most, probably through polling or engaging with them and asking them, and then selling back to them what they want. So what most people do when they sell is they've got something that they want to sell, and they try and sell it to that person. Whereas if they knew what that person wanted, you would quite quickly slightly reshuffle and restructure what you've got to make it look like what they want. So I'll give you an example of this. We have the sponsorship packages. You know about this. And you know, you can sell for sponsorship. You could do an audio read. You could be in at the start, at the middle, at the end. They could come and speak on stages. They could have pop-up stands, and they could be at live events, etc. But if you knew about them that they love networking, they really like connecting with people, you could focus your sponsorship package much more on the live events, coming and speaking on the stages, having the stands, rather than, oh, you'll get an audio read for 200,000 people. So if they're loyal, they're already a fan. Because when people buy something, sometimes they buy something because they want it. Sometimes they buy it because they like the person or the company or the brand that they buy it from. I'll give you an example. Tesla. Not actually a very good looking car, and quite a lot of people don't buy it for the car itself. They buy it because Elon Musk made them. So find out what it is that they love about you. Find out what it is that they prefer about you than other competitors, and then reverse engineer that back into your pitch. So really, people think that sales is about overcoming objections. That's not really sales. That's more having a polite argument with someone. You know, if they raise an objection, you go, oh, no, don't worry, you've got time and I haven't got much money. Oh, yeah, well, you can always find money. It's a bit combative. Whereas if you already know what their objections are, because they told you previously in an engagement in this loyal community weeks or months ago, or you know your client demographic better than they know themselves, you can package up in your product exactly what they want before they even know that it's what they want. And then you don't have to dance through the raise the objection, overcome the objection, raise the objection, overcome the objection. So you as a podcaster, for example, people do podcasts for different reasons. And if you know for a fact that they hardcore need to make money from episode one, you would teach them about having 10 or 15 episodes in the bank, all with ads rolled up and ready before day of launch. And then there's 15 live, and then they've got 15 ads. And you can monetize a podcast from day one. If they wanted to build their personal brand, they would do a solo show. They wouldn't do an interview show. If they wanted maximum reach, they would do an interview show and they would interview guests, and they'd have a system whereby the guest shares the show with other people. And you knowing that up front gives you the tools to sell them having a podcast with you, with your agency, based on what they want. Because some people aren't even bothered about making money on a podcast necessarily. You know, I've been teaching people to launch a podcast on interviewing millionaires. It's the most simple thing to do in the world, to interview millionaires. There's 32 million millionaires now. There's 50 million US dollar millionaires, which I think is about 32 million in pounds sterling. So how many of them are interviewed on podcasts? Virtually none. Most millionaires aren't interviewed on podcasts. And if you had a podcast called Secret Millionaire, or had a podcast called Undercover Millionaires, you're going to quite easily be able to find a lot of these millionaires who aren't famous. You're going to be able to interview them on your show. And I'm telling people, you don't do a podcast just to try and get a little bit of ad revenue from these millionaires. Do a podcast to meet 100 millionaires in a year. Because if you interview 2 millionaires a week for a year, that's 104 millionaires. And you have to engage with them and probably swap a WhatsApp phone number in order to book the show and do the logistics. And you've got 104 millionaires in your black book in a year. So that is a much more powerful reason to do a podcast than just doing it for money.
You can build those relationships with them.
Yeah.
So it's almost as if get the offer to fit the customer rather than the customer to fit the offer.
Yeah, well, people are selling the wrong way around. They're like, this is what I've got.
Who wants it?
Yeah, buy it. Instead, what do you want? Oh, okay. Let me see. Because you can either package it there and then. If you know the features, benefits, and outcomes, most people sell on features. If you're a bit better, you sell on benefits. But if you're really good, you sell on outcomes. So let's talk about ORT. Outcome, results, transformation. Most people are selling on what you get. People don't buy. For example, I'm in property, as you know. People do not buy property because they like having tenants and boilers and service charge and maintenance, and they like dealing with solicitors and brokers. No one buys property for that. No one even wants any of that. People want freedom, choice, and profit. I know this because for years I surveyed tens of thousands of property investors, finding out what is the outcome you want of buying property. So you probably know the tagline for Progressive: invest for freedom, choice, and profit. Not invest for tenants, boilers, and maintenance, because no one wants tenants, boilers, and maintenance. So I know this because I've been running the biggest property training company for the longest time. People want freedom, choice, and profit. That's outcome, not features. So stop selling features, start selling outcome. Now, outcome is what I want to get out of what you're selling. Results are, you know, the tangible benefits that I get. Transformation is the biggest distance from where I am to where I want to go. So if you can sell on transformation, this is why, you know, you see the before and after, you know, overweight and then six pack. This is why these do so well, because it looks like immediate transformation. So always remember, outcome, results, transformation.
Awesome. Do you want a second question?
Yeah.
How do I stay relevant and front of mind when dealing with very busy potential customers and clients?
Right. So I remember learning this from an American salesperson about 17 years ago. And he said, in between the sales conversations, message them somewhere saying, saw this, reminded me of you. So anytime you get the chance to connect with your prospect in a non-salesy way, it's a chance to remind them that you're there without them feeling like you're pushing them. So, oh, I saw this article and we were talking about that a couple of weeks ago. Did you see this in the news? We were just talking, weren't we, about, and link it back to the conversation you were having. And if you, like anyone who's selling, should be tracking the sales cycle. And right now in our industry, because of lockdown and just where we are in the economic cycle, sales cycles are longer. So sales cycle, for anyone that doesn't know, is from them becoming a prospect to them becoming a client. How long does that take? And many people I know in the industry who sell high tickets are saying this sales cycle is going longer, and people are wanting a lot more what's called buyer safety. So because maybe there's a lot of people out there, because maybe money is a bit harder to come by, because maybe being scammed is easier now online, maybe, you know, there's all these TikTok fake gurus and everything else, a lot more people want buyer safety. So you get safety through trust. And you get trust through, one, mind space. So trust isn't just, I like you. Trust is, I see you. I remember once I sold a client a 55-60 grand package. And then about 3 months later, he emailed me and he's like, I thought you'd gone bust. I'm panicking. You're not sending any emails. Where have you gone? And what happened was when he became a client, we moved him out of the prospect emails into the client emails. Anyone who knows Progressive knows we send a lot of emails. And how many emails have we sent? Like something like 100 million or so? I don't know. We send a lot of emails. That's one of the reasons why we're the biggest and the best, because we send a lot of emails. But he went from receiving an email a day or three emails a week, whatever, but regular, to none. Now, he thought we'd gone bust or stolen his money because we weren't visible to him anymore. So I remember learning this phrase, again, from probably an American salesperson 20 years ago. Visibility is credibility. So to build trust, yeah, you've got to be likable. Yeah, you've got to build rapport. But I think most people know that. But you've also got to have visibility. If you go and find me online and I'm supposed to be this multimillionaire and I don't have a TikTok account and I don't have an Instagram account and you go on company's house and there's nothing and there's no visibility, then your trust is down. Whereas if you go online and everywhere you go, there I am, then there's high visibility. So regularly touch base. And again, this, you figure this out. So if it's really important for every person who's in sales to not just rely on their manager or their company to track their metrics, you should track your own. So yeah, if you're working for a good company, they should track the metrics, you know, connection rate and average time on the phone, etc. But you should track yourself, your sales cycle. It's kind of easier for you because you sell high ticket stuff. What's your price range of what you sell on the podcast agency?
10 to 30K.
Okay, so you're selling 10 to 30K. So you've got quite high ticket, quite low volume. So for you, it's actually really easy. So you should track a point where someone becomes a prospect. So for you, a prospect is probably not someone who's in a Facebook group. A prospect is someone who's maybe been on one of your courses, one of your Zooms, or shown a genuine interest. And you want to track them from there until they become a client. And, you know, just track the date on your CRM. And you want to feed all those time ranges into just a spreadsheet and get an average duration. Then what you want to track how many touch points you have. Because it used to be 7 times convincer. My friend Daniel Priestley says now it's about 11. So where you may used to have needed 7, now you need 11. I think what a lot of people think is, I'm a bit worried about over-communicating. I would much rather you slightly over than slightly under-communicate. Much rather. Here's the thing as well. Because everyone's on all social media and there's all different channels, let's say I communicate you with 11 times. You might not see 5 of them because it might go into a filtered message, or you might not open my emails, for example. So you probably need to increase the volume of how often you reach out to them. You probably need to increase the variety of how you communicate to them. And then you need to add in the personal touches. Saw this thought of you, saw this thought of you. It's funny because I do loads of content on social media, as you know. And anytime I put the Lamborghini or the Aston Martin in any kind of live or story, it just goes wild. And so now I've figured out a way to have a picture of a Lamborghini and Aston Martin and have a link to one of my Zooms underneath it. But, you know, if you had, saw a picture of a nice car, we were talking about cars, saw this thought of you. Because people don't care what you know till they know that you care. So they want to know that you're going to help them. The next thing is, it's really important, and I made this mistake, don't go silent as soon as you've made the sale. Because all they're going to think is, well, he only did all of this because he wanted the money. For you, for example, you have renewals. So you could argue your work has only just started once you've got the sale. And if they're used to you messaging them 10 times in 30 days, if your sales cycle is 30 days, and then they get one message every 4 weeks after that, they're going to feel a bit like, well, you only wanted me for my money. And if buyer safety is a big thing now, people are going to buy with people they feel the most safe with, who they feel the most safe with is probably who communicates with them most frequently and most often. People who communicate out rather than just in, i.e. you will message them rather than just wait for them to message you. I have a rule in sales. If I ever want to ask anyone anything, I always work out what I can do for them first. Now, most people in a sales role don't think like that because mm-hmm. they don't know what they can give. But as you know, we have loads of great content, benefits, resources. For example, in Rob.team, there's nothing to stop any of you, if you've got a client and you know that they're into something, offering something first. Law of reciprocity, which is in the book Influence.
Awesome. To elaborate on that, there's an issue, not an issue, but with a sales cycle, something I come across quite often, particularly with our higher net worth individuals, the busier CEOs, founders, etc., is they really like the idea of this podcast thing. I speak to them and like, oh, you know a lot, you're great, sounds brilliant, send me over a proposal. And then I'll catch up with them again later and it just goes to the back of their mind and it's like, yeah, this has come up. Can we revisit in a few months? And it's creating urgency where there isn't any built in, because people will be interested in this thing like the shiny object, but then something's happened in their business or someone's fallen ill or things take over, life takes over. And obviously, like you said, 11 touch points now to close a high ticket deal. So it's hard to get someone over the line very quickly when you're talking £30,000. So how do I stop it becoming a priority, from going priority to, oh, I'll do it later?
Yeah. So as you know, I tell people all the time to increase their volume of posting content. Mm-hmm. So we've just talked about 11 times convincer and longer sales cycle. That doesn't necessarily mean once they're in your sales cycle. It could mean before they get to your sales cycle. Mm-hmm. If you're posting once a month on social media, so you probably find a lot of clients on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's going to be a good high ticket yeah. place. And if you're posting once a week on LinkedIn and only once a month actually on what you do, then there's no rapport already built. If you're posting five times a week, by the time they're in at the start where they become a prospect, they're probably five or seven of the 11 touch points in. So it's vital. And I always say this as well, even if someone's an employed salesperson and they think, well, you know, I don't do social media, it's not my job, you should still post on your social media about what you do. Because let's say I was buying from you, even though you work for a company, I'm going to check your LinkedIn profile. I'm going to see if you're on social media. I'm probably going to follow you because the world's different now. So people aren't as corporate anymore and people get to know their clients rather than it just being a transaction. So if I'm giving you 30 grand, I actually want to know about you. The fact that you have a podcast called The Podcaster's Podcast is a massive tick because you're trying to sell me something and you're actually doing it.
I send that to a lot of potential clients and it helps.
Well, there you go. So are you posting every single episode on every single channel and then shorts and the most viral clips and the behind the scenes and all that? And are you posting every day? So to anyone who hasn't got a podcast and isn't selling podcast packages, this is really important, is you need to provide proof that you do what you're selling. I remember going to Barclays Bank and there's a kid, he was 19 or 20, and he was trying to sell me investments. And I'm like, well, what do you invest in? Oh, I don't, I work at Barclays. And he'd clearly been worked there for 3 months. He logged on. His eyes went like that when he saw my bank balance. And he's like, oh, do you know we have a range of financial products? And he's reading a fucking script. I'm like, mate, you don't have pubes yet. And you're trying to give me investment advice. And like, if he said, hey, look, I know I'm only 20, but I actually have an ISA and I do invest in gold and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, okay. So you must do what you sell. People don't just buy what you sell, they buy what you do. So I have a property training business. Now, some of the guys that start with me in Peterborough, who are, 18 to 25 years old, can't expect them to have 100 properties. But at least read my books. So at least you can say to your clients, yeah, I've just started. I'm really looking forward to getting into property. I mean, I'm only 18, but I'm going to have a property by 20. I'm smashing my way through Rob's books at the moment. You know, he's written 18, that's a lot, but I've got it on in the gym. Even though that person's just started, they're showing that they want to do what they're selling. Most people can't even be asked to do that. So back to your question. Number one, you can reduce the sales cycle and increase the touch points before they become an official prospect by buying, by posting more content. Right, go back to the question because I wanted to give you context, but I need to now remember what the question was.
No, so do I. So with these high ticket clients, it's them kind of being interested, the silver, shiny object.
Okay, cool. Right, got it. The back of the mind. Got it. When you edit this, okay, when you edit this, maybe cut this into when he said about send me a proposal, because I've got the right. If anyone ever says to me, send me a proposal, I translate that to mean fuck off. Mm. Like, not that often I got asked out on a date, but if I ever did get asked out on a date, my standard line would be, sorry, I'm too busy, which meant I don't fancy you enough. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. So if anyone says to me, oh yeah, just send me the proposal, that means they want to get the fuck off the phone and they're gone. Look at your data and find out how many people email you in 3 days after and said, you know, you sent me that proposal, oh, I've just dropped 30 grand in your bank. That'll mm-hmm. be fucking no one. So if anyone ever says to me, send me a proposal, I say, I am the proposal. What do you want to know? If anyone ever says, send me a brochure, I say, oh, I am the brochure. You've got me. What do you want to know? Because that's a fob off.
Yeah.
I mean, did you ever carpet bomb sending out a load of proposals and all of a sudden get a load of money in the bank?
Not yet.
No. So use the opportunity if they ask for a proposal to say, hey, look, I am the proposal. Let me know what you want. Now, you need to make people feel comfortable enough that they'll be honest about what it is that they want. And a proposal is a way of saying, I don't trust you. Think you're going to try and pitch me too hard. I kind of got to get out of here. Now, if you want to reduce your sales cycle, essentially this is how you do it. Number one is you have them more ready when they join the sales cycle, which we've discussed, doing loads of content, being everywhere on social media, being very visible. You should go to all the big industry podcasting events. You should be seen. All of your stories should be about you doing podcasts. They follow you. They may have been here unconsciously just through their choice, because they can choose if they look at your story or not. But unconsciously through their choice, they've seen you 72 different times. And then when they're in your sales cycle, they're so much further ahead than someone who doesn't really know who Kane is and what the podcast agency is. The next thing you need to do is you need to give them a reward for signing up at a specific time and a penalty for not signing up at a specific time. Because ultimately, people will bullshit you left, right, and center. And if you let them, and let them off the hook when they say, oh yeah, I'm going to talk to my boss next week, or I'm going to transfer you the money on Friday, and they don't, whenever that happens, you're teaching them that you're not serious and you're giving them the power and you're depositioning yourself. So the first thing you want to have is a really big incentive to either pay in full or to pay by a specific date. And how you engineer in paying by a specific date is early in the sales process, before you get the proposal, excuse, busyness, wife, husband, life, boss, because that doesn't come on the first conversation, that might come on the second or the third. Before you get all that, you've got to set the scene by saying, look, just so I've got an idea, you know, what's your rough time frame for doing this? And then find out and say, oh, you know, because at the moment we have this thing that we offer if people do join by the end of the month. So for example, for people who buy our high ticket packages, as long as it's a high enough amount, they actually get a 5-day business retreat free with it. But we don't say, hey, you get the 5-day business retreat free. We say, if you sign up by Friday the 21st, you get the 15 grand 5-day business retreat free. So early on, set the scene of the time frame and let them know of the really big benefit, bonus, incentive that they're going to get for signing up. And that's been set early.
It's talking about that before, it's an objection.
Because if you do it at the end, you've lost them. Mm. You're trying to bribe them back. Mm. If you set it up at the start, because at the start, They're not trying to wriggle away from you. That first call is that introductory call. They're finding out about you. You've probably got them more open. They're probably not going to make the excuses at that point. It's that fucking call where you need to get all the information. And it's that call where you need to set up...
timelines.
Exactly, the timelines and seed in their mind. The next thing is, I would definitely remind them once or twice, hey, look, I'm not pushing, but just to let you know, I can't offer the retreat after Friday. Just so you know, obviously you could still join as a client, but I can't offer the retreat. Mm. And then when they miss a deadline, you have to take it away. And by the way, when you take it away, what'll happen?
They'll ask for it.
Exactly. They'll always want it once you've taken it away. So with people who drag the time, so with people who drag the sales cycle out and with people who kick the tires and people who delay it, you have to pull the sale away. Mm. You have to risk not getting the sale to get the sale. But the irony is, you weren't getting the sale anyway. Mm-hmm. So you have to take it. Sorry, I can't do it. Can't do it. No. And the more you get them fighting for it, then you might be able to say, look, let me go and speak to Hayley. I might be able to get a 24-hour extension on it. But that is it. Yeah. But I'm only going to do that. If you can't make me look stupid in front of Hayley. Have you met Hayley before? I mean, She is scary.
Terrifying.
So, and by the way, you get the commitment before you go and ask.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're asking me to do this, then I need your commitment. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, cool.
Awesome. That's all my questions. Thanks.
All right. Cheers, Ash. So, everyone, this is Ben.
Hello.
Ben, how long have you been at Progressive?
About 5 years.
Wow.
Quite a long time.
You're one of the top guys, aren't you?
I'm the top.
The top? Sorry. Oh, I'm the top. Would it be fair to say you're a bit comfortable, though, right now? Do you need a bit more competition?
I need a lot more competition.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why can't you motivate yourself?
Because I think when you've been somewhere 5 years, it's very easy to be too comfortable.
Okay.
And I think I need something to push me more.
You know, I said that if you want a Rolex, then hit me up with a proposal.
I'm still thinking about that.
Yeah. That was about 3 months ago, wasn't it?
It was about 3 weeks ago.
All right, 3 weeks. Ish. Right. Yeah. So we need to get some of these guys biting at your ankles. What would motivate you to sell more?
Money.
More money.
Money's the biggest thing.
But if money was the biggest thing, why wouldn't you just keep selling more and not? You admitted you got comfortable, and you know your commissions are solid. Why don't you just keep selling more and smash your own ceilings?
Because I'm trying.
You'll get your turn, Hayley.
My interview. Bugger off. It's hard, you know, it's very hard to keep pushing yourself when probably 3 years I've been at the top. So I'm pushing constantly, but it's very hard to close as many deals as I would like all the time, consistently.
Okay.
That's where I struggle.
And what do you think would motivate you to sell more? What would work for you?
Probably just, it's the money thing. I want to make as much money as I can.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's through no fault of or lack of trying. Because I do as much as I can.
Yeah. Okay.
My biggest thing, one of my questions was how do I close deals quicker? Because I have a lot of clients that I speak to for 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah.
That I know they're going to buy. I know they're going to buy, but they don't have the urgency to buy.
Yeah. So how you get clients to sell quicker is by giving them an incentive to buy sooner and a penalty to buy later. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
So do you remember when our pay in full sales at our events was like 45, 50, 55%?
Yeah.
And now it's what, 88?
About 85 now.
Yeah, I mean, I saw three of our events, I saw were 89% cash in bank.
Yeah.
Some of them are 100.
Actually,
so what are we doing different to go from 45 to 55% cash in bank to 85 plus?
We are charging people more money to a payment plan.
Right. So we are penalizing them for delaying payment.
Yeah.
So we can talk about this now. I know you don't have long. Yeah. And we may not come up with the answer now. We may need to talk to Hayley.
Yeah.
But if there is a penalty for buying later, they'll buy sooner.
So the penalty is the price goes up.
Yeah. That's but do they really believe it?
I don't know.
Because the thing is, and you know this, like the easiest person to sell to is a salesperson, but also the salesperson knows all the tricks.
Of course, yeah.
The one time you do not do what you say, like you extend a deadline or you don't put a price up, that person will never believe you anymore.
Yeah.
So whether it's what you do and say or what the company says and does, you should really care that what you say to your client, that your word is gospel. Because as soon as your word is gospel, they won't test you. But if they think, well, you know, Ben's just selling me and that deadline will extend, they'll just take the piss.
Yeah.
So as I said earlier, in order to get some sales, you have to turn them away.
Yeah.
You have to say, sorry, you missed the deadline. That's it.
I think that's where I struggle, because I worry about losing the sale to the point where I'm then missing targets. I'm not earning money. So I'm like, I will do everything I can to help you, but you need to buy, or you need to.
Would you rather date someone that no one wants or everyone wants?
Edit that bit out. Edit that bit
or,
out.
Or with a pulse.
Anyone, pulse will do.
Would you rather unconsciously date someone that no one wants or everyone wants?
Everyone wants.
Yeah. So we all want what everyone wants and we all want what we can't have.
Yes.
So people think it's a risk to turn clients away, that they'll lose the sale, but you haven't got the sale anyway.
Yeah.
And people want what they can't have. So you have to take away from them. Now, if you take away the sale, sorry, I'm not selling to you anymore, obviously you can't do that. This is why you need incentive and penalty.
Yeah.
So speak to Hayley, but if you can have something that you can give, maybe if you've got clients at 5 grand level, 15 grand level, 25 grand level and 50 grand level, figure out a sweet incentive that you can give as a reward and then take away as a penalty.
Yeah.
And the way we've increased the cash in bank at events is by penalizing delayed payments and therefore rewarding pay in fulls. Now, there's two ways you can reward a pay in full. It is it costs less or you get something else. So, you know, in our industry, we're always talking about what's that sweet pay in full bonus. Now, if you introduce this the day before the deadline, it's not really going to work.
Yeah.
If you build it in at the start of the sales process and also say to them, look, this isn't something I normally do or I can do a lot of. Let me see if I can do this. But because one of the phrases that I see master salespeople use and works really, really well is, I wasn't going to do this, but. We don't normally do this, but people want to feel like they get something that's special or unique to them. Okay. Now, obviously, you don't want to say that if you just give it to everyone. But if you've got a 5 grand only bonus and a 15 grand only bonus and a 25 grand only bonus, and legitimately no one below that payment threshold gets it, you can honestly say, look, I don't normally do this, but. Because most of your clients don't pay 5 grand.
Yeah.
Most of them pay less. So you can honestly say that. So figure out with Hayley, and I can help you. I can create these things. Now, it's actually not that difficult because you should know what your clients want. You've been here 5 years, you should know. So if you don't know, we need to poll them and find out.
And that's one of the reasons I feel like I know what they want and I feel like I know they're going to do it, which is why I'm like, okay, so why are you taking so long? You're going to do it. I know you are because you bought with me for the last 3 years. What's the delay?
Yeah.
And then there's no motivation for them. Because I know I'm going to get it. It's going to come in.
Yeah.
But when's it going to come in?
Yeah.
That's the bit I struggle with.
Yeah. Well, look, you can always ask them, why did it take you 6 months to invest in the mastermind before and find out the reason and then weave in. I don't like using objection overcome as a word. I like the objection to be raised and overcome before it comes up.
Yeah.
So more like inoculation than overcoming. You know, if you inoculate yourself, it's a pre-virus before you get the virus, as opposed to needing an antidote after the virus. So people don't really use their common sense in that whatever it is that didn't get your client over the line last time, ask them.
Yeah.
And then you've...
You can use that on the next one.
Then you've got the reason why.
Yeah.
But ultimately, from a human psychology point of view, people will buy quicker if it benefits them or if they lose something if they don't. Another thing that's good to do is to show them what other people gained or didn't gain. So, for example, let's say you got a client on the 30 grand and they got this special bonus. Just say, hey, we were talking last week. I just want to let you know that David just joined and he's just got this. Because we want what we can't have and we want what other people
and get. They want it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next thing, and we talk about this a lot in the team, no salesperson should in any way sound like a salesperson. So if you said, hey, saw this and thought of you. Hey, I know you're keen on this. David just got it. If you phoned him and go, oh, just give me a ring, leave that voice memo, like you're their friend.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to be sold to, but everyone likes to buy. So any other questions about speeding up the sales cycle?
No, I think I'm good. I think I answered it really well.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
All right.
There's something I can use for my next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, mate.
See you soon.